All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 177. Is this an emergency pod? Is that what we're doing? Because, I mean, originally we had scheduled to do this on Thursday because Tyler and I are going to Jasper for the pond hockey tournament. And so this was always the plan. But now it kind of turned into an emergency podcast, maybe?
Yeah.
Tyler?
Is this the first time in 177 tries they've given us something to talk about this close to like the opening buzzer for us?
Remember the Lucic trade when I made us record a day earlier because I was going on vacation? Then he got traded right when we would have been recording.
Classic.
So we're going to get into the Evander Kane thing. If you're wondering what we're talking about, he is an Edmonton Oiler. Contract is out. Tyler, you got the details on the contract?
Yeah, our friend at Puckpedia, Hart, had a bunch of the details throughout the day. Basically, the way this thing breaks down is Kane's cap hit is going to be $2.1 million. Kane will receive roughly $970,000 in cash. It's a 200-day NHL season, so you basically have to take the money he's getting paid and or the money the contract's worth and like multiply it by how much time he missed. It's confusing. I'm not going to do math, but he's going to earn...
Oh, come on, some Urem check math.
He's going to earn $970K, but his cap hit on the books is going to be $2.1 million. According to Puckpedia, the Oilers now have $1.68 million in cap space to activate Mike Smith from LTIR. They would need to clear $520,000, which they could easily do by sending Stuart Skinner to the minors. But basically, if the roster is fully healthy, Edmonton will have about $230,000 in cap space.
So what we're saying is not a lot to go goalie shopping or defense shopping unless you get some money out kind of deals. But we're going to get to that. We're going to get to all of it. We've got a lot to talk about with the Evander Kane news. Got to give a shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, of course. Tyler, what do you got for a delicious debate?
Evander Kane, the right or wrong call?
Who wants to jump in first? Evander Kane, we're talking about it on the delicious debate. Rick, you're fired up. You just got back from, where were you, by the way? Were you in Mexico?
I was in Mexico. I was in Cancun for last week.
I see you looking bronzed.
Mm. Yeah, a little different color right now, yeah.
What's your take on this Evander Kane thing?
We did this, I think, 2 weeks ago, maybe. We gave our opinions on it. I have not changed. I'm good with it. Like, I know what people are going to be throwing whatever and calling me names. I don't really care. This is the type of player on the ice that we could really use. He's bringing skill. He brings size and grit, which I know I don't really believe in, but I still think we need some. He's the right type of player at the right time. So I'm all for this.
Nation Dan, you're waiting patiently. I see you've got takes in your eyes. I know that they're coming. your thoughts on Evander Kane signing a one-year contract with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, Rick kind of laid it out there and just said, you know, like we all talked about this about 2 weeks ago, and I'm still kind of the same place where it's just disappointing that we're at a point in the contracts of both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl where we're having to bring in guys with some possible issues within the locker room and within the team chemistry dynamics and off ice issues to try and fix the season. You know, it's probably going to turn out perfectly well. That would be a very 2022 kind of thing to have happen where he comes in and, you know, lights it up, and there will be people that will still be frustrated with it and upset by it. And so it's, you know, I'm frustrated that we're at this point as a franchise that we had to make this decision, but they made the decision on a business acumen, not really anything to do with the moral side of things.
Tyler?
Yeah, it's definitely like hockey wise, you can see how Evander Kane will fit in with this group on the ice. He will slot into their lineup pretty nicely. And for $2 million, he's going to give you a ton of production. But I also see Dan's side of it. And that is really the tough part for me is like, I totally understand the parts of the fan base that look at this and go, I don't want to cheer for that guy. I don't want that guy on my favorite hockey team. And I think people are totally justified in saying that. And the people who sit there and go, I just want the Oilers to win. I care about the team on the ice and I don't care about the guys off the ice. And the people who say that or who go, you know, I believe in redemption stories or whatever you want to say, you know, that's a take that you can certainly have and be justified in having as well. I just think that's why we talked about this on Real Life earlier, Bag Milk. I think that's why this is so split and people are so passionate is because there are level-headed people on either side. And I do think both sides are totally worthy of having the opinions that they have. So I'm torn on it. Like on the ice, I get it. Off the ice, I don't like what this guy has done. But the deal happened. So, I mean, he's going to be an Oiler. He might be in the lineup as soon as Saturday. And I don't have any doubts he's going to help them on the ice. I just won't feel great about cheering for him to score goals for the Oilers. That's my take.
I mean, I don't know even what else needs to be said, really. He's going to help on the ice. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Evander Kane instantly jumps into the Oilers' top six and will be one of the best wingers they have on the team. Now, everything that goes off ice, I don't know how you can necessarily just ignore it. Personally, I think this is just me. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze here. I don't think this circus needed another tent put up. But if you're looking at results, and this is unquestionably a must-win season for the Oilers, like missing the playoffs is not an option. Cannot happen. The Oilers obviously went through what they went through, losing 13 of 15 games there on the stretch. We're going to talk about those wins, though. Hey, a couple of wins. Huh? But you can't lose this season. You can't lose it at all. And there's no question that Evander Kane is going to help them right the ship on the ice. But this is also a franchise that preaches character all the time. And this is also, I find it a little bit interesting, the reaction to the signing, in that there are so many people that were absolutely dunking on Taylor Hall for unfounded, quote unquote, character issues, but then have no issue with what's going on here with some of the alleged allegations against Kane. It's very confusing for me. It's going to be weird. I'm not going to stop cheering for the Oilers by any means, no. But it's going to be weird to watch him pumping home goals, knowing how much this affects chunks of the fan base and just the fallout that we're already seeing on social media. Again, social media isn't necessarily real life. I understand that, but it's a very interesting decision by the Oilers. But here's another thing. They weren't the only team that was going to do it. They were not the only team. Elliot Friedman reported during the broadcast the other night, the Washington Capitals were one of the finalists as well. That is a team that has got high aspirations. I do wonder if there's differences just in that they've got a lot more vets in their dressing room as opposed to what the Oilers do. That's not to say that the Oilers don't have veterans in their dressing room. It's just different dynamics. So,
but that wouldn't change the away from the hockey game part of it, right? So no. I understand the veteran in the dressing part, right? I get it. If you want to be an idiot in the dressing room, you got a bunch of guys who've been there, they can straight them out. But that's never, like, you could have all veterans, and that's not going to change his off-ice stuff.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, like, you know, teams have had to rally around teammates before it, when they're having issues, you know, and going off the rails or whatever. Like, I mean, you know, we've heard the stories, but I hear what you're saying. Like, it's not like they can go and walk him through the rest of his life and make sure that he stays on the straight and narrow. But, you know, to me, the conversation should be, you have an opportunity here, and what you do when you leave this arena also matters. And I
fully believe that conversation has been made. I don't think they've brought him in here with a blind eye. Like, they're not ignoring what's happened. I fully believe they've sat down and said, hey, listen, if you come put the sweater on, you need to act like this, this, and this. And you can't go outside the lines. I don't know if we'll ever find out if there's wordage in this contract that says if he does X or B or whatever, that it's terminated.
You can't, but CBA doesn't allow that.
No.
It would, well, the PA would just grievance with it every time, but unless you could get to a point where, yes, there's a mutual agreement, like they, you know, there's been hinted in the past about a guy like Milan Lucic, where there's that gentleman's agreement that maybe he will allow his contract to be bought out if he gets ineffective, that kind of stuff. But yeah, you can't say, you know, if you get arrested, I'm going to terminate your contract. That's something that the PA and
them, or even any type, like, I mean, you don't even have to get arrested, just to bring any type of.
Yeah, no, that was just an example. Negative, like, you get a jaywalking ticket. Yeah, it's, you know, like in other pro sports, there is, like, Shaquille O'Neal wasn't allowed to drive his Ferrari on highways to Lakers games because he would drive it too fast. And if he was caught doing that, then his contract would be in trouble. Like, those are actual things you can do in some leagues.
Ben with his motorcycle.
And yep. I, first off, it does, in a way, like, I was chuckling. It's pretty funny that he signed for the next like 4 months. And we're like, okay, if he acts up in these 4 months, like, can they maybe just terminate it? Like, it speaks to the whole thing. And I brought this up on Real Life as well. The other side of the concern for me is, like, he's gone spurts where he's a good player. He's been a playoff performer in the past. When he first got to San Jose, he played really, really well. He had some good runs with Winnipeg. And the issue was when it's almost like he stays too long, right? And he gets too comfortable. And that's when he starts to have issues, at least hockey locker room wise, is what I'm talking about here. My concern would be, he comes in, he plays well for the next 40 games. He scores 15 goals, let's say. And in the offseason, Ken Holland goes, what's it going to take to keep you here? Because that's exactly what the Oilers did with Tyson Barrie. He was supposed to come in 1 year, prove it deal, rack up the points, which he did. And then it was supposed to be like, thank you very much, Evan Bouchard, come on up.
I'm in Florida.
And yeah, enjoy. You got your contract. We got our great year. Thank you. They signed him to this big ticket and we're halfway into the year and people are already going, how can we get rid of Tyson Barrie? Because we don't need him. And my concern would be, and I know you really want to jump in, Rick. My concern would be they sign Evander Kane this offseason to a 3-year deal worth $5 million. And 6 months into next season, we're sitting here going, there's problems with Evander Kane. Something's gone wrong.
No, I agree with you. I do think we'd probably get out. I'd maybe hope that we get outbid if we ever bid at him for a long-term contract. But with Barrie, that wasn't their first move, though, either. Like, he brought him in for 1 year. They had their hands washed of him, I believe. They were going to go ahead with Larson. They're going to go ahead with Bouchard. And then, technically, I guess, if CeCe was a look down the line, then that's the way they're going to go. And Barrie was kind of like a last-minute decision for me. And I believe Barrie took a cheaper amount to play here, probably. And I don't think Kane does that.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be fair to the guy, you'd have to guess it. I mean, I'm willing to guess. We're already in the end of January. We're kissing February right now. You'd have to imagine he is going to be on his best behavior for this last stint, right? Don't you think? Like, you have to think.
Yeah. You would think someone's looking, not that, like,
if he's looking beyond this season, and I don't think that he'll be in Edmonton next year, if he's looking to find another deal, then he would have to be, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just me being naive. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, I mean, like, it's like, it's to me, it's hope will, you're being hopeful there that it will, sure, because it's one of those things that, yeah, I think if there's a mistake here, this offseason would be the retirement offseason after that.
Or he's going to go find a place in Russia, I guess.
Or, I guess, retire from professional hockey and head over to the KHL or the
What's going to be interesting though, is when he actually gets on the ice, you know, when there's a lot of people, I did a poll on Oilers Nation, what people thought about the signing. Looking at it right now, there's over 1,000 votes. More than 30% are happy with the signing. We've got about 30%. Oh, I'm going to refresh this just to get you guys accurate numbers here. So 36% of they love it. 12.2% they hate it. 33% are just kind of like, we'll see what happens. And then the other 18% there are just like, they want to see the results of the poll. So there's a big chunk of people that just kind of want to wait and see how things go. There is a smaller, but understandable chunk of people that don't like it. And then there's some people that love it because obviously that you're getting a player here at a price point that you wouldn't have got him at otherwise. And I think there is value there. I mean, this guy's going to score for us. He's going to be feisty. Dan, hockeyfights.com. I wouldn't be surprised at all if one of Kane's first games with the Oilers, he drops the mitts, tries to get some people on his side. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that happens.
It's been a minute since he's had a fight, but you're on the ball there. He's kind of the same kind of player as a Cassian, you know, has been in the past, where it's just kind of quick to trigger and here you go.
Who was the guy he fought three times in a game once?
Oh, or twice. Good question. I got to look it up. One sec.
Well, Dan,
he fought the same dude three times in one game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might've been Mark Pesek.
Wow.
That's a rough game. That's what that is. The other news while Dan's looking that up.
Actually, sorry, Bag Milk. Bad news for former Edmonton Oiler. It's Alex Petrovic.
Ah. Nah. They actually fought three times though, right?
They fought three times in the same game.
Man, those are hard fucking minutes, you know?
Bring back Petro.
That's perfect. Actually, those will go up on Hockey Fight social media here right away. I've been looking for a three pack for a while. So thank you, Tyler. Good catch.
15 minutes in penalties after getting in three scraps. That's a rough thing. All right. So the other news that goes along with this Evander Kane, there was a lot of this probably would have been done weeks ago, but the NHL was doing an investigation regarding the alleged COVID protocol violations with travel that took place in December. The release was no further discipline. And I'll just give me a second. I'll just read the announcement. It's a quick one. The National Hockey League announced today that it has concluded its investigation into circumstances pursuant to which Evander Kane traveled across border during the holiday period. The report prepared in connection with the investigation, which was conducted by Patterson, Belknap, Webb, and Tyler, LLP, congratulations, Tyler, concluded that there was insufficient evidence to conclusively find that Mr. Kane knowingly made misrepresentations regarding his COVID-19 status or test results in connection with his international travel. As a result, the league has determined not to pursue any additional league-imposed discipline against Kane at the current time. Kane remains an unrestricted free agent and is currently eligible to sign and play for any NHL club without restriction. So that was the thing where we've talked about that as well on this podcast a couple of times. Well, you're not going to sign the guy if he's just going to get suspended for 40 games or whatever, but that got wiped away today. So we could see Kane in the lineup. Do you think the Oilers would throw him in as early as like Saturday against Montreal?
I bet you if they win tonight, they don't. I bet you if they win tonight, they go, okay, three in a row, we don't need them. Like, let's let them really ease them in. But I bet you if they were to like lose tonight, they would be like, you know what? Let's spark the boys. Let's throw him in Saturday and see what he does in the lineup.
Rick, you said yes?
Yeah, I think I don't see any point. If he's got him, he's ready to roll. As far as the reports are, he's been skating out in Vancouver or something like that. If you got him, he's here. Put him in the lineup. Let's go. Rip the Band-Aid off. Get it over and done with. Let's just go.
The biggest benefit being it's an away game. So you're going to get him out there and not have the home half crowd booing him.
I don't know if people are going to boo him. I think they're going to be, maybe some will.
I have a feeling that it might start that way and then it'll just kind of taper off.
I think that if he scores a goal in his first couple of games, there's going to be a lot of the naysayers that are just going to be like, all right, well, what's going on the ice? He's a good player, but we'll see. So now that we got him in the lineup, where does he go? Let's talk some way too early line combinations. Where do you see him? Do you put him next to Connor? Do you put him next to Leon? Maybe you stack up the three centermen and you put him with one of the three. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. Tyler, when you're thinking about Evander Kane, where do you see the best possible fit for him in the lineup?
All right. I have two lineups written out here. I was going to make this a YouTube video, but I ran out of time today. Number one is with Nuge as a winger. And I would go McDavid in between Hyman and Puljujarvi. And then I would go Draisaitl with RNH and Yamamoto. And my third line would be Ryan McLeod with Evander Kane and Warren Fogle. And then my fourth line is whatever's left. Derek Ryan, Zach Cassian, then Benson or Shore. Then if you want to go the three centers, though, and have Nuge down the middle, I would go McDavid with McLeod and Yamamoto. I would go Draisaitl with Kane and Fogle. And then I'd go Nuge with Hyman and Puljujarvi. Really spread it out.
It would be interesting to have three lines with the potential to score. You know what I mean? I think that would add a different element to the Oilers that we just haven't seen for a while. Rick, where are you thinking? Where do you see Kane playing?
I don't see them bringing him in and not trying to find a way to put him in the top six. You get the bodies with, say, him, Leon, and Puljujärvi. I don't know how anybody's going to win battles below the hash marks with those three guys. And then, yeah, you put a guy who's got a shot like that, put him next to Connor, put him on the right wing, let him start sniping away from his off wing. I'd love to see something like that happen. I really don't know where they put him. I just think they're going to try and find a spot for him in the top six.
Dan, what do you think?
Mute button was found. We've always dreamt of three scoring lines that could just click, and we've had some opportunities in the past, but then our lottery tickets don't work out and we don't ever see the three-headed monster. So yeah, I'd love to have those three scoring lines, but I don't know. There's so many question marks now because that left side is so stacked. Like, is Fogle going to be on your fourth line all the time? I don't know, but it's I'm looking forward to having three scoring lines, hopefully.
Well, the interesting thing is a guy like Zach Hyman, he can flip both sides, right? So he's going to add a different flavor of versatility there. I wonder though, if I wonder if Rick is right in the sense that you stick him beside Draisaitl and Puljujarvi, and all of a sudden that line is a fucking monster to handle. Or do you put him with Connor, let Connor do his thing, and you've got a guy there who can finish and has proven he can finish in this league, and then you spread it out a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see what Dave Tippett does with Evander Kane. We also
fun to see who gets pushed down, though, right? Like, all of a sudden, if you have someone like Fogle playing the fourth line, he's way too good to be playing on the fourth line. The matchups you have in that situation are going to be quite favorable for us.
Well, even if you flip, you flip Hyman back to the other side on the right, somebody's going to get pushed down there too. You know, it's because all of a sudden you've got Yamamoto, Puljujarvi, Cassian, and Hyman. And if Cassian gets pushed down to your fourth line, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Okay. So this automatically adds a different flavor into the Oilers lineup. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens there. And the Oilers need it to work too, because with this signing, they've basically taken away all of their flexibility at the trade deadline to make an addition to net, unless they've got money going out. Same with on defense. Well, so this is kind of like an all-in play almost.
I think you'd have some money going out just in the fact that I know it's supposed to be, we're going to talk about it later with Holloway coming up. You're going to have a lot of forwards all of a sudden. Turris's contract kind of goes away. Does that make it a little bit easier to move on from Cassian's contract? Does Shore end up being just a victim of circumstance? I know they like him, but at one point he's not really inside the top 12 and you need kind of the money. Is this going to be two moves that help get rid of some guys that I think pretty much all of us would like to see kind of take the QE2 out of here?
I think if you're going to make a move now, like, you didn't have a ton of wiggle room before. If you're going to trade for a goalie, Koskinen's got to be included and got to be shipped out. And if you're going to acquire a defenseman, Tyson Barrie's got to be included and got to be shipped out. And if you're going to go acquire another forward, Zach Cassian's got to be included and got to be shipped out. And expect to hear the phrase, they're in a money in, money out situation, because that's really what it is.
That's what it has to be. There's no other way for the Oilers to make anything work here. In terms of, but
there's got to be a way where you can get rid of, say, Cassian and not to bring in a forward. You're moving a contract like Cassian, and whether it be a first or something, I don't know, to help go for that goaltending situation. I think goalie's the next thing you have to try and fix.
I just think that if you're,
that's all there is to it.
Yep. I just think that if you're going to move Cassian, you're going to have to add to it. And the team that takes on that cap hit is not going to give you anything of value back. That's my
worry. I don't think moving Koskinen is going to be horribly difficult either. But it's his last year.
Still going to cost you something. Like, remember a couple of years ago, Leonard got dealt at the trade deadline. And the Leafs held on to a chunk of his money and got like a fifth rounder for it. So if you're asking a team to take all of Koskinen's cap, it's probably going to cost you at least your fourth rounder next year.
I had Frank Saravalli on Better Late Than Never a couple of weeks ago, and he said there is a trade market for Koskinen, but the Oilers are going to have to either pay in picks or prospects or both to move it if they don't want to retain any cap. So that was a few weeks ago now that I had Frank on. So maybe I'll have to check in with him again, but it's going to be interesting to see. Cause like Tyler said, money in, money out. That's the only way kind of things move right now. And there's still holes that need to be filled. Zach Lang right now, Nation Network news director, is live tweeting some quotes from the interview with Kayla Gray that's going on TSN right now with Evander Kane. One thing that he was asked about was the initial suspension of the 21 games. And Kane said, "It was an error of judgment on my part. I understood the severity of it and took the punishment on the chin. I shouldn't have put myself in the situation. I don't have any excuses for it. And I've learned from it." So here's hoping that that's actually true. Zach says Kane declined to speak on his holiday trip, but did confirm that he was in Vancouver. "I can't get into it. There's a lot of different moving parts. I will say it's not as black as white as you think, and it's not necessarily being reported as accurate, or what's being reported is accurate." And there we go. So we'll check in with Zach as well as he continues to work on that. But looking at online, looking at our traffic coming into weathersnation.com, this news is touching everybody. And it is something that we'll be discussing for the remainder of the season as Kane now settles in. I also want to give a shout out before we move on to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. For 90 years, four generations, they've had all the products you've ever dreamed of to make sure that you're cared for in terms of insurance, auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, whatever you need. CornerstoneIns.ca, CornerstoneIns.ca. Citizens of the nation, you get yourself a little discount there. Got it? Good. Everybody's excited. I do want to move on from Kane a little bit, because this past week we had something to cheer about. The Oilers won not once, but twice. And they did it in resilient fashion, coming back against both the Flames and the Canucks. Now, the Canucks game, yes, they had a bunch of players out. They were playing their fourth string goalie, but still, the Oilers found a way to win a game that they were supposed to win. They got it done against both the Flames and the Canucks. It always feels good. Lighten the mood around here a little bit. The vibes are a little bit brighter. And I think we all needed that. Dan, looking at those two wins, what was your takeaway? Was either more impressive to you than the other? Both, you liked them both, or what were you thinking in terms of the wins this week?
The Flames game, I thought, was a good kind of emotional statement game for this team, especially where got the first two goals against, and you know, you start to feel like, and we've seen with the Flames, they've been able to run away against some pretty good teams just in the last week. So, you know, had a lot of dread there, and I think they really turned it around and deserved that win by the end of it. So, you know, as opposed to this last game where, I don't know. We got scored on again, right? Scored on again first.
Ten games in a row.
And you know, they were able to overcome that again. It's starting to not feel like the dagger that it was for those 12 or 14 games that we played.
Numb to it.
Yeah, I guess. And yeah, you're right. Once you get that 14th and that 15th stab wound, it just doesn't hit the same. Yeah. But you just don't have enough blood left to give. But yeah, it just felt a little different to me. You still would like to see them come out and actually be able to put away some pucks, but the effort at the start of the games has been markedly better.
Tyler, two wins, much needed. Oilers, again, I think that one thing I want to say is Koskinen was great both games.
Oh, absolutely.
He was fantastic. He deserves some love for those. What did you take away from those two wins?
Yeah, Dan, the rush of going down 1-0 isn't good enough. That's why they're going down by 2 now. They're like, damn, I need to feel something to get back into this hockey game.
By the time we're in the playoffs, it's a 6-0 spot start we're doing every time.
And they're like still winning games. They just need it. They need to wake up a little. The last 2 games have been good. Like a huge comeback win against Calgary that I think just really, really meant a lot for the fan base as well. To get out of the losing streak by beating the Flames was just like, it was like a double jolt of energy for everyone. And a really, really solid comeback win against Vancouver that, you know, you look at the things that were ailing the Oilers for a while. It was depth scoring and their power play had gone cold and goaltending as well. Okay, well, Koskinen slammed the door for the majority of that game. You got a goal from Ryan McLeod, who was on the third line when he scored it. And you got Leon Draisaitl just after a power play expired. Like it pretty much should have counted as a power play goal. So a really, really solid comeback effort. And the part that worries me is that they lost, whatever, 6 in a row in December. They won back-to-back, and then they lost 6 in a row again. So I think this next run of games here, not necessarily tonight against Nashville, but against Montreal and Ottawa, you need to show that you're a new team and that you've taken a step forward. Don't go back on another losing streak now. Like, keep kind of plowing forward and get 2 of the next 3.
I also think, though, I think tonight's game against Nashville, and we're not going to talk about it too much because by the time this podcast comes out and you listen to it, the game's probably over. But Nashville, to me, is a team that the Oilers have handled very well over the last couple of seasons. And we shouldn't be looking past this game as, maybe they lose, maybe they don't. This is a game they need to win. They need to get back on track. They need to make sure that those games they have in hand are turned into wins. They need points. And the Predators are a team that Leon Draisaitl has fucking stolen their lunch money for the last 2 years. I personally have put a couple of shekels on over 1.5 points from Leon tonight. I'm expecting it. I think this is a game that the Oilers can win. And then if they win tonight against Nashville, they can carry some more confidence into Saturday against Montreal. Montreal fucking sucks. Ottawa just lost their best player. They fucking suck. So these are games that the Oilers need to win. Rick, looking at this next little bit, we've got Nashville tonight, Montreal Saturday, Ottawa Monday. What are you thinking?
Honestly, I tried not to get too down during that losing streak. I saw a lot of things that were good. I saw a lot of things that were bad. I tried not to get too excited at the very beginning. That's maybe a little bit harder to do, but I've never really believed that they were what they were at the beginning. Never really believed what they were on the 15 games, 16 games, whatever the hell that was. I was happy to see them get out of it, but there was no extra cheering. It's just get back into the swing of things. Get that monkey off your back. Start playing like you know they can. This next couple of games, you're right, but it doesn't mean any more to me because of what happened 15 games ago. These are games I expect to win anyways. This team needs to look at everything in this league and say, hey, listen, we can beat any one of these guys. We have 2 of the best players in the world on this team. We could go out there and play with anybody. And regardless of what happened yesterday, they need to keep moving forward. So I have no different expectations about these 3 games coming up than I did, say, if we talked about this at the beginning of the season.
I think that these are games where I'd like to see the Oilers close out wins. And I think they are important because I'd love them to get some confidence back, to just get a little bit of the swagger. We remember earlier in the year when the Oilers came back and beat New York with that third period, in that third period rush where Leon's like, don't worry, it's coming. Don't you worry about it. I'd love to see a little bit more of that swagger in their game. Whereas if a mistake does happen, it doesn't look as deflating. And that's what I thought the Oilers did a really good job of against the Flames and the Canucks. When there was a goal against, it didn't look like it sunk them. It looked like, all right, we just got to get back to work. And that's where, again, I got to give Mikko Koskinen some credit. All eyes were focused on that dude here. And he stepped up in a big, big way in both those wins.
That Calgary game, was anybody else like terrified watching that one? He looked, and I hate to put his name in the same sentence, but he looked very Dominic Hasek, like just kind of flopping out there and the way he's making saves and kind of just doing what he had to do to get it done rather than, you know, the stand up goal or the very solid positioning goalie, everything kind of hits him and doesn't go. Like, I love seeing it. I love seeing the victory. But those guys who watched Hasek growing up, like watch him, like we watched, you know, Cujo or whatever, like if that's your team, good Lord, you must have ulcers because he did everything. He looked great, but it was a different style of goaltending and it was terrifying to watch.
It was intense.
even that save he made against Vancouver, I don't think it was OT. I think it was the shorthanded chance, but he was like pad stacked by the end of it, like flailing up. And it's like, you know what? Maybe that's like Mikko Koskinen's little rallying cry is like, I'm just going to do like, fuck my positioning. Fuck what Dustin Schwartz tells me to do with my body. Like, I'm just going to go out there and play like a road hockey goalie. Cause you know what? It works for Mike Smith.
If it works, it works.
Sometimes you just got to get that giant carcass in front of the puck, no matter how you do
it. Huge.
Gord knows he's massive. Now, I was asked this on Better Late Than Never yesterday in the voicemail, so I'll ask you guys. Do you think there's any part of the why are you so pissy media gate with Jim Matheson that the team kind of looked at it like, all right, well, we're taking it from everywhere. Maybe let's get this together. Do you think there's any part of that? I'm not ready to say that asking Leon why he's pissy was the reason the Oilers turned around, but I'm asking you guys, what do you think?
Nah, I don't think so. I think we've had run-ins like that before. Like, I mean, that happened with Leon last year with Rob Tichkowski. So I don't think it had anything to do with it.
No, I agree. I don't think it did not ignite anything. These guys, they know who they are and they bring what they bring. And I don't think they need any type of help like that.
Absolutely. It did. Jim Matheson fired this team up with a big piss-soaked stain on their franchise and on their record this year, and they're fixed now. And we have only to thank Jim Matheson.
They don't give
Jim Matheson not with a capital
I.
I think that, honestly, in all seriousness, I do think that players do use things from time to time that media guys say. I think they also use things that fans yell at them sometimes as inspiration. I don't know if this is necessarily that case, but causation, correlation, who knows?
Coincidence.
I think at the very, very least, the boys got some jokes out of it, you know?
Maybe it's a little not bit their first run. Like, they had Nuge had his goals with him. I'm sure he's been a
mark. We didn't sell hundreds of t-shirts based on that one. This one was a little bit different.
Well, yeah, it's up to them to give us that catchy little t-shirt line. They didn't do it that for us with the Nuge one.
No, that is true. By the way, shout out to all of you that bought a pissy tee. I can't wait to see them once you all start getting them. The pre-sale is now closed. Again, hundreds of those things are going out the door. Absolute monster of a design. Shout out to Kennedy for whipping that up very, very quickly after my stupid "we're all pissy" tweet started to gain some traction. Shout out to all of you. You're all going to look great, and I can't wait to see you wearing them. We're all pissy, but not as pissy as we used to be. And I think that's something to be grateful about. Real quick, because I don't want to spend too much time on tonight's game against the Predators, because this will be a little bit late by the time it comes out. Just around the horn, real fast. What's the score tonight against the Preds? I'm starting it off 4-2 win for the Oilers. I am always on brand. Tyler.
4-3 in overtime.
4.
The Oilers.
Rick.
I'm going to go with something a little bit higher. We know what it's like having Koskinen run a couple too many games in a row, so I can see a couple getting past them, but I think the offense has that monkey up their back and our group of sticks are tight. I'm going 6-4.
Dan.
Edmonton.
I'm going to say that this is a bit of a letdown game, and we're going to say 5-3 Predators win.
Hey, Dan. That's what we're all doing today. We're fading Dan.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Sometimes you got to. All right. As we do every week for our friends at Buster's Pizza, I've got a crop of questions from you, the lovely Oilers Nation Radio listeners. I'm going to ask the boys. They have not seen these. They have not heard them. You're going to get their first thoughts on how this works. If you go to busterspizza.ca, find a location near you. I promise you there is one. If you live in around Edmonton, guaranteed. Get a pizza, get a donair. All of them delicious. Maybe even put your donair on a pizza, eat that, invent something new. I don't know. Whatever you want. Busterspizza.ca. Go check them out. All right. I am looking at my screen here. Rick is actually up first on my screen. First question for Buster's Pizza and Ask the Idiots. The 06 Oilers at the deadline traded to help out their offense and definitely their goaltending. Who do you want to be our Sergei Samsonov and Dwayne Roloson at this year's deadline?
I think our Sergei Samsonov is already here within the Kane or Holloway edition. I don't see them going after a lot of forwards after those two guys come up. Oh, shit. You know what? When it comes to the Rolly, I don't give a shit what his last name is. I just need results between the pipes. There's obviously numerous goaltenders out there you can go for, but literally it doesn't matter what his last name is. Just give me a guy who can come in here and play that number one spot.
And shout out to Mike Comito, actually. I think it was yesterday or the day before marked the anniversary of Kevin Lowe going out to get Yaroslav Spacek. So that was an early trade. Tyler, who is your Samsonov or Dwayne Roloson? Who's your targets for the deadline?
Like the Dwayne Roloson side of it is like, for me, that screams like a veteran guy, right? So I don't know if there's necessarily that, but the two goalies that I would like to see brought in are Vitek Vanacek or Ville Husso. But I will say, I did a YouTube video on this. It's not out yet. It'll come out this weekend or later. I don't know when. But someone sent in a suggestion about how the Oilers could get Darcy Kemper. And if Colorado is actually interested in Fleury, to make the money work, you would assume either Kemper or, I guess, Pavel Francouz would have to go back the other way to Chicago. And if Chicago has Kemper, a pending UFA, they don't need him. So maybe that's the way the Oilers could still work a way to get Darcy Kemper. But realistically, I like Husso. I like Vanacek. But if you're asking me for my Dwayne Roloson pick, I'll go ahead and say it's Braden Holtby from the Dallas Stars. And my Sergei Samsonov. Oh, God. Who's even out there? I'll say it's Jake DeBrusk.
Mr. Nation Dan.
When it comes to goalies, I think that the Dwayne Roloson addition would be, it could only be fitting if it came from the Minnesota Wild and it was one Cameron Talbot. And we brought back the dad bot and he came in and led us to a championship. That would be a very Roloson-esque kind of storyline. Obviously not with the same revisit. And then when it comes to forwards, Sergei Samsonov is such a, that's such a challenging thing to put on Ken Holland as a GM. Cause that was one of the greatest pivots that a GM has ever done when Kevin Lowe did all the trades he did in that 2006 run. But yeah, I would say, you know, it would be an interesting name is a David Perron comes in and lit it up for us, a la Sergei Samsonov. So there's two retreads for you.
I wish. David Perron ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to say, I'm with Rick. I think that if you're looking for offensive additions, you got it today. So that's Evander Kane. As for a goaltender, now with Kane signed, I just don't think that they do anything with the goaltending at all. How's that? Good, good. Question number two, Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Tyler, you're up first. Chychrun for Barry, the first pick, and Broberg. Who says no? Maybe some Morikov instead? Can we push next year's first? That's money in, money out.
I do that trade in a heartbeat.
Yep. I do it if I'm Edmonton, yeah. Like it's a lot to give up, but you're getting a legitimate high-end NHL defenseman signed for 3 more years to a reasonable cap hit, and Barry's money's out the door. That makes sense. I'm just struggling a little bit if that's enough from Arizona's perspective. Like, they're getting Broberg, but you don't know how they view Broberg, and you don't know if Arizona's going to, or sorry, Florida's going to step up and knock that offer out of the park potentially, right? So I would say that in this moment, Arizona would say no, but if Edmonton were to hypothetically land Jacob Chychrun, which I don't think they will, I think that's the package it would look like.
Rick.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think the Oilers should make that move. There are just some question marks when it comes to Arizona's perspective on either one of those two defensemen. I think if you bring in like a guy like Chychrun, then you can actually give up a Broberg or a Samruka for that matter. I think Arizona would be a little more skeptical to make that move.
Dan, you said you'd already do it.
Yeah, 100%. I would do that just because you're solving a problem going forward, like Tyler said, and you've gotten rid of Tyson Barry money in the meantime.
Wasn't the question who says no?
That was Arizona.
There was, I think
Arizona
there was
says no.
Six or seven questions.
But I say yes.
I would say yes too. I think that I'd like to win now. I'd like not to wait for later to see what Broberg may or may not be. That doesn't offend me. Starting with Dan on this one, Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. From the past 5 seasons, so we got to think back to the past 5 seasons now, who's a fourth line player you would pick to replace one of our current fourth Patrick line Maroon. Players?
Patrick Maroon. It's every time for me. I miss what we had on this team with a Patrick Maroon. So for me, it's Patrick Maroon.
Tyler.
I really like the Maroon pick. I think that is a strong selection. this is a question that I don't really have an answer for off the top of my head because it's oddly specific. I am thinking very hard about this. I'm giving it
say 2017 Zach Kassian.
I don't know. I'll stick with the Lightning. I'll go with like, can we have Corey Perry on his $1 million deal down in our bottom six going and pissing bringing off back, the other team?
You're bringing back a former Oilers.
Oh, a former liner. Oilers fourth liner. I thought it was just any fourth liner. Former Oilers fourth liner. Did Slepyshev ever play on the fourth line? Probably. I like him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being Anton Slepyshev.
Rick?
I like that.
Oh,
did Patrick Russell. Did Maroon really play on the fourth line here?
Probably for a game at some point.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. Yeah, that's
Rick, tough. I answered it really quickly. Give me a break.
Yeah, I know Tyler loves the Slepyshev move. But you know what? The one that's here right now who doesn't get a lot of ice, I'm gonna go with. If he gets full time ice, I want Benson in there.
I will finish off with the correct answer, which is obviously Gaetan Haase.
Yes. Oh, that should have been my pick. I love him.
Shout out to Gaetan Haase. All right. Last question. Asi, it is for our friends at Buster's Pizza. I'm going to start with Rick on this one. Recent reports say that the Seattle Kraken are listening to offers on everyone. What's your take on a possible deal with Seattle to bring back either A, Adam Larsson, or B, Jordan Eberle?
There's a Samsonov answer right there.
Can you imagine?
When it comes to forwards, I think we're really running out of places to play guys unless you're starting to move them out the door, that is. So I don't know what it takes to get Larsson back here, but I'm sitting there on that conversation all day long.
I'll jump in too. Adam Larsson is who I would pick. I didn't realize how much we would miss him necessarily until he's gone, but we certainly do. Dan.
Well, I mean, you have to make money work, of course, but either of the two goaltenders, I think, would come into this situation and be better than what we have currently. So Driedger or obviously paying an arm and a leg for Grubauer.
Fair.
Tyler, what do you like?
Original Puzar in one of my Twitter threads the other day, hopped in and said, hey, maybe Barry would be a fit in Seattle because if they trade Giordano, they need someone to quarterback the power play. So let's just, you know, Barry and what, next year's second for Adam Larsson? Huh?
Adam Larsson, poor guy. He just wanted a fresh start with all the stuff he had to go through, and you're right back in, baby.
He have a 10-team no trade list.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah. So probably not happening.
Probably wants to come back now that it's real pissy in here now.
Oh, we're super pissy. He wants one of those teas and we'll get him one.
He goes and looks at the headlines. He's like, what's going on in Edmonton? Draisaitl fight, Evander Kane sign. He's like, you know what? They are on my list now. I'm not doing that.
There you go. Ask the idiots. If you want to submit a question, hit me up on the tweet machine, slide into my DMs or on Instagram. I know I missed some of you guys this week. Now that I'm looking, there were some other questions, but we'll get to those. So I'm going to put my little randomizer on here and I'm going to watch it spin for a second to see who wins the Buster's Pizza gift card. Landon, you are a winner. You have won the GC from our friends at Buster's Pizza for asking the boys over the past five seasons, which fourth line player would you pick to replace one of the current ones? Again, correct answer. The only answer is Gaetan Haase. Thank you. There you go. Ask the idiots for Buster's Pizza. Looking around the internet really quickly here as we're wrapping up the podcast before we get into the hot and cold performers. Chatter around the Oilers is sky high right now. And if there's one thing that I hope this Evander Kane signing does, is actually helps contributes to some wins here, because nothing will shut people up about the Oilers quite like having wins on the board. And really, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm just running through Zach's tweets here because he transcribed basically the whole interview. He was asked about Connor McDavid. Kane asked about Connor McDavid's comments that he would welcome him to the Oilers if it was a fit. And Kane's response was, I think it was unfair, the criticism that he received for that. My reaction to it was that I was impressed. I was impressed because he doesn't know me personally. He doesn't know my story. I haven't shared any details with him. For him to have an even-keeled mindset and not make any judgments about me before getting to know me, I thought it was very impressive. And then McDavid reached out to him ahead of this, saying they had a great conversation. So there was a little bit of connections going on there between the newest Edmonton Oiler and Connor McDavid. Tyler?
Tampering.
Mm-hmm. Tampering. Well, he was a free agent. Are you allowed to do that? I don't know how that works.
I wonder if you have a grievance, though, if it would be considered. Because what you happens, could technically like, be out of
charge.
He's
now looped into the lawsuit. He like has to go to court and like be in the arbitration.
Fuck. And do you know the entire fan base riots.
Do you know anything about what happens with the NHL's grievance on that contract? Like, what happens if the NHLPA gets their way? Does like he just get money back from San Jose, or what happens?
Yeah, he'll just get like a big chunk of money, or they could like do a Bobby Bonilla thing where they like spread it out over the next like 90 years of his life.
That's they go to Edmonton. They're like, you have to go back to San Jose now. You're actually a San Jose Shark again.
He scores like 6 goals in 4 games, and then like actually back you go. And he like has to walk into the Sharks room and be like, fuck.
One of my favorite things every year is the Bobby Bonilla thing.
Yeah.
And do you like, how long is that guy signed for? Because I just feel like every year I'm like, surely I'm not going to hear about Bobby Bonilla this year. And then
I think it's 7 more years.
2035.
That's crazy.
He'll be paid through 2035. I just Googled it. So he has got some term left on.
Is Rick DiPietro still getting cash?
He's got to be done by now.
As a result of his contract buyout, the Islanders will continue to pay DiPietro $1.5 million annually till the end of the 2028-29 season.
What about our former friend Briz? Where is he at on that list? He's got to be in there in the mix because he also had that extended contract with Philly, didn't he?
Yashin.
I'm just saying this as a matter of fact, not as a joke. The owner who is in charge of the Islanders, he's dead already, and they still have to
wing.
Yeah. Brizgalov is going to be getting paid till 2027.
Yashin?
I think
Yashin's off right now.
Mike Richards was the one that is actually a similar scenario as Kane, where he grieved it and ended up getting back some money. And he's going to remain on the Kings books. This according to the Hockey News back in 2015 until 2031-32.
I want Brizgalov on this podcast so bad. How good would that be?
Just to be like, dude, how sick is the direct deposit day when you get your yearly payment from the Flyers?
That's so good. I love it. Not as good as Bobby Bonilla, 2035. Wow. I love it. It's so good, man. This is just another one of those little conversations where sometimes GMs, they're just, they go full GM sometimes, don't they? They just,
it's funny. What he gets $1.5 million a year for Bobby Bonilla.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't have to consider consider what that was worth when he first started getting it compared to what it's when he gets his last paycheck.
Wasn't that like the reason they did it though?
The things you could buy with the first one and then the things you could buy with the last one.
Yeah, it's not like he's getting an interest or an inflation adjusted total. Otherwise, he'd be getting like fucking $20 million by the time this is done.
I have a story about the connection to Rick DiPietro and the GM that brought him in, Garth Snow. For the other company that I've worked for in the past in the sports industry, they called Rick DiPietro. One of our writers called him often injured, and Garth Snow called and canceled the contract with the company because they called him often injured, and they predicted they would lose the game 6-0. They lost the game, we predicted that they would lose the game 6-1, and they lost the game 6-0. There we go. But anyway, so you're not wrong. Like it's like these GMs, some of them just shoot their shot and then like that it is hard for them to admit that they were wrong. And then this buyout comes and it's now just on their record until forever.
Sometimes they make those contracts knowing it's going to be someone else's problem though. You're like, this is my last kick at the can of this team. If you know, you got to go get this guy.
You're sure. The money.
Nope.
You're going to let me sign some more contracts before I get out of here, Bob? Sure thing.
I don't want to talk about that anymore. All right, Tyler, get your buttons ready. It's time for our Deuce Vodka hot and cold performers of the week. You get them on deucevodka.com. As always, there's Brad Kissel. He's staring at you right at the face, handsome devil. To the right hand side of that, there's a find in store button. You're going to want to click on that, find out where you can get a bottle of Deuce Vodka for the weekend, provided that you are of legal drinking age. Okay, looking at my screen here, Maester Nation Dan is up first. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Oh, well, my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is going to go to one person. But first, I'll say congratulations to Keith Yandel on getting the Iron Man streak. But my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is that every time we talk about an Iron Man streak, I am reminded of the fact that some players have had their Iron Man streaks ended because of suspension. And I think that's the dumbest thing ever. Specifically, I'm talking about Andrew Cogliano. Yeah. Suspensions should not end Iron Man streaks. That's dumb. That's not what Iron Man streaks are. So that's what's going to get my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Yeah, because wouldn't Cogliano have had this?
Oh yeah,
like by a country mile at this point.
Yeah, but I think he sat out games since then just because it didn't matter anymore. But
like, if Yandel wasn't chasing the Iron Man streak, he would have been healthy scratched a long time ago. And now I think there's kind of an awkward thing in Philly where we joked about it on the rundown, like. How long can Philly go until they like won't look like pieces of shit for healthy scratching him? Because they don't really want him in the lineup.
You gotta at least get into double digits before you do it, or else it's too obvious.
And then the other thing is the second he's healthy scratched, Phil Kessel's only 26 games away from passing him.
Oh, spicy. Because Phil the Thrill, you gotta imagine he ain't done. I'm looking at Philly right now. Keith Yandel, 43 games played, 0 goals, 13 assists. So I mean, to be honest, if I'm being honest with you guys, I kind of forgot Keith Yandel existed for a while. He is not the player he once was, put it lightly. All right, Rick, you're next up. Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
This one's gonna go out to two different factions. To me, it's almost like you get a penalty and the diving call at the same time. So this one's going to go to the NFL and their playoff overtime rules, but it's also being handed out to the Buffalo Bills and whoever's calling their defensive plays. The Bills knew what the overtime is. They allowed it to go to a coin flip. They came out and played the worst last 13 seconds of football when you were winning that I've ever seen. They gave up two big catches right away. And I know this from Tyler. They gave up two huge plays back to back. Dude, those are two guys that are going to catch the fucking football. Stand in front of them, bump them off the line, do something. Don't just back up and allow their kicker to go. But that's exactly what they did. They said, let's go to overtime. And then at the end of the day, those overtime rules are garbage as well. So I got to give it to both of them, both whoever was calling the Bills defensive plays and the NFL overtime in general.
Just so you guys know, while you were saying that, Rick, I pinned Tyler to my screen. So I've got big Tyler while he got to sit there and listen to you shit on the Bills. Tyler, I will allow you a quick rebuttal to Rick's Deuce Vodka coldest performer of the week.
I'm so sad. It sucks.
We have been led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
I'm not even blaming the guys on the field, and I dislike that team. I think whoever made those play calls just completely wrong and just really accepting the fact that, hey, let's go to the coin flip.
As somebody who just very much enjoyed the game because it was fun to watch, Tyler, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's tough. But hey, listen, that is a very Buffalo Bills way of doing things. I've been a fan of that division for a long time. I'm fully aware of that,
Rick.
dude, you understand what happened in the 90s. How would you handle it if you were alive in the 90s at this age when they went back to back Super Bowls and won none of them?
Yeah, probably wouldn't have handled it well.
Yeah, you know what Bill stands for, right?
I don't know what Bill stands for.
Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Okay.
B-I-L-L-S.
Who's up next?
Me? Next up, Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Nice. Someone on this podcast I might want to give it to. Holy shit. No, I'm going to give it to the news out of Arizona that they're considering playing in the ASU stadium that holds like as many people as the rec center in St. Albert. It's ridiculous. Like, how can this keep happening, man? Like, this... come on, Arizona, let's figure it out. Like, either you want to own a team and you build a proper damn rink, or you pay rent properly in the rink you currently have, or we just pack you up and we move you somewhere else. I don't even care where. Arizona, come on now.
What the hell is going on?
The absolute best part about it for me is that it's 3 to 4 years of a lease. It's not like a temporary location. It's there until 2028. six.
I thought it was that term so they could build a place.
Well, yeah, but 5,000 like seats. Like, surely you could find something better.
I get that's terrible. I understand that part's terrible, but I thought the term was, so, you know, we'll just rent this place out for a little while, which horrible decision. And then they'll be in the process of building a place. So this bullshit can kind of go away.
They
should
just make them like the Harlem Globetrotters and they just like don't have a home. Like, they just play 82 road games.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you got to think too, like when other owners of NHL teams saw the news, they're like, you got to be fucking kidding me. 5,000 people. Like, right?
Why would any free agent want to sign there?
Man, because who gives a shit? You're gonna like cash
intimate
in.
Experience.
Can you imagine being Andrew Ladd? Like, for the last year and a half, you were getting sent up and down and like riding the buses in Bridgeport of the American League, and then you find out, like, you get the call and it's like, I got traded. I get to play fucking where? Like, you go from Long Island being a healthy scratch and a fourth liner in the minors to like, oh, I still get all my money and I get to live in Arizona. Hell yeah.
Good times.
Cash in.
Good times. My Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week. It has to do with our weather. Before we started recording this, I took my homie Franco for a walk, Frank Saravalli, that is, and the sidewalks in Edmonton are death traps in some places. And if you've got a dog that's got the 4x4 pulling like mine does sometimes, he gets excited when he's out there. His poor little legs were kicking all over the place, but the sidewalks in Edmonton right now are greasy. And you get my Deuce Vodka cold form of the week.
Worse.
All right. Tyler, you're up first to finish us off with a little bit of positivity. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
I'm going to give it to the vibes that are going to be had in Jasper this weekend. We're going to have a good time. We got the team play La Bamba is in the tournament. We are going to bring a ton of pride to Oilers Nation with our effort on the ice. And I just got a tweet from the On the Bench boys. And I think it confirms that they're going to buy us the beer they owe us, because on Real Life, we bet them that the Oilers would beat the Flames in the Battle of Alberta. And I think they owe us 48 beers. So we're going to have a couple beers, play a little bit of hockey, and shout out to Tourism Jasper. They get the hot performer of the week for organizing this very fun tournament we're going to be going to.
I can't believe it!
Rick, next up, Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
You know what? I got to go back to last Saturday again and just give it to the NFL and the playoffs. That was probably the most exciting four games I've ever watched. That was, you know, three last second field goals in that overtime game. Yeah, that was exciting. That was fun. That was a hell of a time. So we'll give it to the NFL.
Pour it on!
Also, just on the NFL last week, I think I had a great time just texting Tyler, just his name. That's all I was texting him, and he knew exactly what I was talking about, and his responses were hilarious. Dan, you're next up. Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week is going to go out to all of the former Oilers and all the players that got named to the Canadian men's Olympic team this week, but especially to one that isn't getting mentioned very much in this city, and it's one Edward Pascal, who you will all remember played one season, and I believe, I'm just going to check my stats here to make sure, 16 games for the Bakersfield Condor, and your starting goaltender for the Canadian Olympic team, Edward Pascal. So he's, you're going to get my hot performer of the week.
He's a hot guy!
My Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week is Netflix, because I just finished Ozark season 4, and that show fucking rules. I'm sad that it's over. I'm sad that I'm done for another year. But man, that is a great show. So I guess maybe Netflix gets one, Ozark gets one, Jason Bateman gets one, and Tyler also gets one for putting up with my nonsense, as I very much enjoyed watching the Bills lose.
Put some respect on my name.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Tyler?
Yep. We got a little interview to get to here. Ryan Holt, he's the play-by-play voice down in Bakersfield for your Bakersfield Condors. And if you didn't know, Dylan Holloway played his first handful of professional hockey games. And Ryan Holt joined me for a quick chat on Holloway, Lavoie, Marody, Broberg, Vinny Desharnais. Here's that chat with Ryan. It is a pleasure to welcome into Oilers Nation Radio the voice of the Bakersfield Condors, Ryan Holt. You can find him on Twitter at Condors Holty, the number one way to stay connected with Edmonton's AHL affiliate. Holty, how's it going, man?
I'm great. I'm great. Enjoying the sunshine here in Tucson and getting ready for two games this weekend.
Well, thanks for giving me some time here. There is a lot to get to here with this Bakersfield team. We're going to jam in as much as we can. But the number one thing that has Oilers fans buzzing over the last week is the fact that Dylan Holloway is finally playing games. So I'll start this one with a real simple question. How's Dylan Holloway looked in his first few professional hockey games?
Yeah, he's been great. I think the cool part about Dylan is he's been around the team now for a couple of months. He was with the team late last year during the Pacific Division title run, and then this season able to come down and get his feet wet here for his first couple of games professional, and three assists in the opening two games, and he's looked every bit the part of what we kind of expected. Or if you read a scouting report or seen him in college, he's looked exactly the same. In that regard, elite level skater, a kid who, can really possess the puck and change games offensively. He's drawn, I think, three power plays already for the team in two or three games here. One led directly to a goal and a comeback last night against Tucson. So even though, he might not have a point last night, he was affecting the game in other ways. He's on the power play as well, too, with, when Broberg's here and Griffith and Marody and all those cast of characters. So great to see, him get going here this weekend, and, look forward to big things from him. He's going to have a lengthy career, and this is just the start of it.
Oilers fans, as you know, sometimes like to get a little ahead of themselves. I think I would include myself in that camp as well. But you see a first round pick go down and score 3 points in three games in the American League, and the talk is already, can we count on this guy to come up to the Oilers after the deadline or something in that range? Is that still a little bit premature, or is he a guy you could see maybe making a jump to the NHL later on this season?
What's my favorite line that we talked about? It's way above my pay grade. It's way above my pay grade. But that being said, it wouldn't surprise me. He's a first round pick for a reason. You draft guys in the first round, and especially in the top half of the first round, those are bona fide NHL players. Those aren't guys you're hoping become NHL players. Those are guys you need to become NHL players and need to become impact players in the NHL. Guys like Bouchard and Yamamoto over the last couple of years for Edmonton. Puljujarvi has, developed into one as well, too. And now you're kind of seeing that second wave, at least here in Bakersfield, of first rounders with Broberg and with Holloway coming through. Early second rounders like McLeod and a couple of other players like Lavoie starting to come and come to the forefront. So do I think it's possible? Yeah, I think it's possible. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen. Especially in this era of hockey, it's day by day for just about everyone. And looking forward to seeing what happens the rest of the year with them, and selfishly want him in Bakersfield as long as possible. But we'll see how it goes.
Another guy who was up for a little bit in the NHL, but is still having success down in the American League, is Philip Broberg. You mentioned his name, and the thing I notice here, and a lot of the people who maybe don't watch him always say, "Oh, he's going to be a shutdown guy. He's going to be a shutdown guy." Then you look, and he's got 17 points in 24 games. You mentioned him playing on the power play as well. Is the offensive side of Philip Broberg's game something that has maybe taken a step forward this season?
Yeah, he's benefited a little bit, and we have a pretty good power play, and he's benefited a little bit by being the quarterback of the top power play unit. He's got two shooters on either side of him with Cracknell and with Griffith, Marody as kind of an option, and Malone down low as well too. So he's kind of benefited a little bit from the power play. So I would say that the offensive numbers are skewed just a little bit just because of the offensive side of things. But that being said, he's playing 20, 24 minutes a night. He's playing with Vinny Desharnais on the team's top pairing, and they've been tremendous. And, for my money, one of the top pairings that I've seen in the Pacific Division. So he's doing everything right. You got to remember, too, he's, 20 years old, and, I think he turns 21 this summer. A young defenseman, still coming into his own. He's very mature for his age. He looks the part. He acts the part. A guy who's, going to have another lengthy career in the National Hockey League. It's just getting going here in Bakersfield. And, for him to be the number one guy here in Bakersfield this early, I don't even think it took Evan Bouchard, a little longer to get going, but kind of the same trajectory of both of them, I think. Two different style defensemen. Broberg has a defensive side of his game that's, been really polished. And one thing about Phil is he's so good at kind of being a one-man breakout out of his own end. He makes a great first pass. He's a smooth skater as well, too. So that area of his game is what's going to translate at the next level. Is he going to get the power play opportunity that he does here in Bakersfield? I don't know, you know, just based off other numbers up in Edmonton. But that being said, you know, we'll gladly take him here in Bakersfield and gladly put him on the top power play unit.
You mentioned his partner, Vinny Desharnais, and Bob Stauffer sent out a tweet yesterday, I believe, talking about how he's a guy who's on track to earn an NHL contract in 2022. I mean, he's 6'7". That jumps off the page at you, and I'm sure it catches your eye very quickly on the ice as well. But he's not exactly a household name amongst Oilers fans. Can you give us like maybe an intro to who Vinny Desharnais is as a defenseman?
We've done this a couple of times now with, you know, defensemen that are kind of under the radar here over the last year or so. I think last year I gave you Marcus Niemelainen, and I want a finder's fee on Marcus for kind of putting him on the radar. So gladly we'll put, you know, Vinny on the radar. Vinny's a heck of a defenseman. He's a defensive defenseman first just because of his size and his ability in his own D zone. And he's a great penalty killer as well, too. He's had an opportunity here this year to really flourish. The team doesn't have a veteran defenseman. Vinny's the most veteran defenseman on the team in the American Hockey League. And he's played, I think he just passed 70 AHL games this past week. For Vinny to be the top guy in terms of, you know, veteran, you know, games played in the American Hockey League is a tremendous, you know, weight to carry. It's an honor, I think, you know, for him to kind of be a young, you know, veteran in this league, I guess, if you will, because you have so many young defensemen on the back end, and he's really been kind of the rock that's kind of gelled everyone together. And he signed a 2-year AHL deal this past summer. He's the guy who 2 years ago was in and out of the lineup down in Wichita in the ECHL. And, you know, listen, Dave Manson's, you know, I can't say enough great things about Dave Manson and the coaching staff, and Dave in particular, what he does with the D Corps. But I think you can look at Vinny Desharnais and obviously the work he's put in, you know, as a defenseman, as a top pairing defenseman in this league, but the work that Dave Manson does in bringing guys along, and Niemelainen's in that fold as well, too, that maybe we're on the cusp. Maybe if they didn't have a Dave Manson, you know, would it have turned out this way? I'm not sure, but you know, Vinny's, I think he's plus 12 or 13 in his last, you know, 5-6 games. I know plus minus isn't all it's cracked up to be, but you know, at this level, for him to do what he's doing right now, and he's chipped in some offense too, which is just a bonus. You know, I can't say enough good things about Vinny Desharnais.
Kind of moving down my checklist of players I want your take on, Raphael Lavoie is a guy who is more of a household name amongst Oilers fans. What have you liked in Lavoie's game so far? And maybe what are the areas, if fans are going to sit down and watch him, that they should be looking for him to maybe improve on if he wants to one day make that jump to being an Edmonton Oiler?
Well, I think he shoots the puck, I think, 24 hours a day. I don't think he ever takes an opportunity not to shoot the puck. So that's first and foremost, you know, and Raph's really come on here this season. He started, you know, slow. The season didn't start the way he wanted it to. You know, I think he went a solid 15, 16 games without a goal. Wasn't really getting a sniff as well, too. Wasn't creating opportunities. And then something just clicked in mid-December, and not only just the shot totals and the ability to create chances, but it's his whole game as well, too. He's had an opportunity to play with Adam Prackle and Seth Griffith, two guys who, you know, do it right every day, you know, and show up with their work boots on, ready to go. And I think that's one area of Raph's game that's really come on here over the last couple of weeks. You know, he's got 7 goals, I think, in his last 14 games, and, you know, has really started to get onto the point pace that, you know, he was on last year when he was so effective as a late call up, I guess, for the Condors and help the team in the postseason run. So, you know, I think he's figuring it out, and I think it's great to see. And I talked with Jay Woodcroft yesterday specifically about him and just the coaching staff in general. When you have players who start at point A and you want to get them to point D, you know, it might go B, C, and then back to B, and then back to A, and then up to C, and then eventually you get to D, and eventually you get to see them live out their dream in the NHL. And I think for Raph, it's, you know, it hasn't been a straight line, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to make him better as his career progresses. And again, you know, another 21-year-old we're talking about here, and a guy who is going to play games in the National Hockey League and hopefully become a full-time NHLer in the near future.
Last one in terms of specific players I wanted to hit on with you is Cooper Marody, a guy who's not 21 anymore. He's up to 25. He was up in Edmonton for one game, grabbed an assist as well. And yet he's never really gotten another look this season since that game, even though the Oilers have faced injuries up front and have been looking to add some depth scoring as well. Are you maybe a little surprised that Cooper Marody hasn't gotten another shot? And how important has he been to that Condors team this year?
One, he's vitally important to this team and this team's success. Mm-hmm. You know, as he's grown up here in Bakersfield, he's turned in from a rookie that's had, you know, good numbers and become, you know, kind of a rookie budding superstar. And now he's turned into, you know, he's not a veteran in that sense, but, you know, he's one of the older faces. He's one of the guys who's done it right for the last three or four seasons here in Bakersfield. When he's been healthy, he's been one of, if the most dominant, you know, forward of his age group, certainly. You know, he's top five in the AHL in scoring since he's been in the league. You know, and unfortunately, you know, this doesn't just happen, you know, in the Oilers organization. It happens in many organizations. You kind of get these, you know, and I'll call them tweener type of players, you know, guys who, can they play in the NHL? Yeah, they can probably play in the NHL. Do they maybe need, you know, a top 6 minutes or need an opportunity, you know, to kind of show their skill? You know, that might be the case, you know, and that happens every now and again. You know, it's not like you can just throw a guy on the fourth line and ask him to do a role that he hasn't done. But with that being said, you know, Coop this year has been one of the top penalty killers for the team. It's another penalty kill that's in the top five in the league. Coop's a big part of that. We saw that last year with Tyler Benson too. Again, just, you know, avenues for them to be able to get to the NHL and stick. You know, if it's not, you know, with Connor, with Leon, with Nuge, is it, you know, an opportunity for them to go up and be able to be a penalty killer, be able to give you 7-8 minutes a night and be effective in that role? And, you know, you're seeing it with Benson, McLeod, and trying to find their way with limited minutes to, you know, be able to still have the impact they had in the AHL. I mean, you know, Coop plays 19, 20 minutes a night here, you know, in the AHL and gets all power play time and all of that. And that's not going to happen in the NHL. And I think, you know, you kind of fall into that tweener category, but I can't say, you know, like a lot of these, you know, Condors, can't say enough good things about what Coop's done. Really impressed with the maturity that he's handled kind of the situation he's in, because it would be easy to be frustrated, but he just keeps going and putting up points and, you know, came off the COVID list and notched 2 assists last night. So he's doing what he usually does.
Ryan, always love the insight, man. Keep up the good work down in Bakersfield and enjoy the next stretch of games here.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And take care and anytime.
There you go. Nice little chat with Ryan Holt. Vinny Desharnais, 6'7" and playing on a pairing with
water.
And playing on a pairing on the top pairing with Philip Broberg. So that was interesting. Good stuff happening down in Bako.
What's the fucking wingspan like on that guy? He just, like, his poke checks sweep the ice, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. Like hearing from the Condors. Really excited about Holloway. I wonder, real quick before we wrap this up, how long do you think before Holloway is up with the Oilers? Tyler, you just had the interview.
Yeah. I will say he gets up mid-March, early March. I'm going to say early March.
Rick?
Originally, I was going to say he's going to be up a little bit earlier than that, but now that Kane's here, I think they can push him back a little bit. So as long as he keeps showing up the way he is right now, looking comfortable, looking good out there, I'm going to say early March.
Nation Dan.
I think that this Evander Kane transaction has allowed Dylan Holloway all the time in the world. I think it'll probably be closer to the playoffs now.
I actually agree with Dan. That'd be my guess as well, if at all. If at all. Maybe he just forces his way in, but now that Kane is around on that left side, I think maybe, you know, maybe towards the end of the year, maybe not at all. All right, there you go. There you have it. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 177. Vander Kane is an Edmonton Oiler. There you go. I want to thank our friends at DoorDash, Ding Dong, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Deuce Vodka, and Buster's Pizza for making it all possible. And most importantly, all of you for welcoming us into your ear holes on a weekly basis. This is the emergency episode. It's the regularly scheduled, just so happened to have news episode. That's it for Oilers Nation Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody.
No doubt, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.